I say it has been a good day. Let's read a few more verses from 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 2. Trust we won't take anything away from what we have learned today. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll read from verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Peter writes, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts at war against the soul, having your conversation or behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good work, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And really the phrase that catches my attention is this in verse 9, "that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Of course, we read these words and immediately our minds go back to the Old Testament and the nation of Israel and God's purposes for them. And we're going to go back and notice a few of those things. But sadly, the result is failure on the part of the nation of Israel really to please God, to glorify God as he would have desired from them. But Peter writes to New Testament believers, to Christians, even in our day and age. He speaks, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." And he gives a purpose for which God has called us, chosen us, purchased us, that we might show forth the praises, the virtue, the goodness, the excellency, the glory, the purity of God to those around us. So I think he takes the Old Testament example of the nation of Israel and sadly their failure. But let's just notice that God's purpose is for them in saving them, redeeming them out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 19, as they stand at the foot of Mount Sinai, remember how God would speak through Moses to the people, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you as it were on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be my peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." God's purposes for delivering those people out was that he might have a people for himself, a people that would praise him, that would worship him, serve him, and glorify him on earth among the nations. God's purpose in dealing with these people. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 to think of how God desired that this people would testify of his person. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. We'll take the time to read from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Remember, these are the last words of Moses to the people before they enter into the promised land where God was taking them, not so much to the generation that came out of Egypt, but to their children as they would go into this inheritance. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, as the people are being taught again, verse 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in, and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught of it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, God's judgment against those whose heart were swayed, And the marriage of people that were not of the people of God, it says, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed from among you. But ye that cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. So the nations that surround it, the nation of Israel, it says, which shall hear all these statutes and shall surely, and shall say surely, this great nation is wise and an understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Lord said unto me, gather the people, and so on. So, of course, the nation of Israel, they could enjoy that good land, that prosperous land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, but there was more to it than just temporal provisions on the part of God in this good land. We read the purposes of God through this people was really to be a testimony to the nations that surrounded them, that they might be in awe to consider this people, that they might be in awe to consider the statutes, the ordinances of God, and praise them. You see, when we see God's purposes for these people, they were to be a testimony to the nations that surrounded them, to create in them a desire to know the God of this people, to know the word of this God for his people, to be praise for what God desired for them and what God was doing in them and God's care for them. That they might be able to say, there is no other nation like these people. There is no other nation that God that has a God so very near to them. That God, as these people moved and lived on earth, were going to be a people known for their relationship with God, the nearness of God to them, their adherence to the word of God, and God's blessing upon them. That they could call upon God and he would listen. That they could cry out to God and the hand of God would be seen and working in their favor. But we're going to go to the first chapters of the book of Judges now. As we're reading through this with the kids in post-throw, we started in Genesis 12, and now we're in the book of Judges. Now, reading through this, it's really a sad end to what we have just read. Judges chapter 2, we begin reading at verse 8. God takes them in through Joshua into that promised land. God delivers up the inhabitants of the land. And even though they should have destroyed those people that lived there in their places of worship, sadly there was only a partial obedience to it. And God even warned them back there in Deuteronomy, Moses told them, be very careful, because these people and their worship, if those things are allowed in your life, in your land, they are going to affect you for evil. And this is a sad condition of the nation of Israel, just as Joshua would die. And those of Joshua's generation, Judges chapter 2, verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, that is, they died. And there arose another generation after them, notice these words, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Asherah. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. As the Lord had said it, as the Lord has sworn unto them, they were greatly distressed. How sad. It didn't take very long for these people to forget who God was. It's interesting, the beginning of the book of Exodus, you'll read those words that there arose another Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Now we're reading of a people that did not know God. The third or fourth generation of those that have come out of Egypt. And even though that was a commission of the fathers to teach their children and their children's children, how soon we read those words that there arose a generation that did not know God. The nation that was to be known for its nearness to God and God's nearness to them. And there are people that abandon the word of God and do not enjoy this nearness with God, and do not know the blessings of God. And how sad these words, that even their very children did not come to know their God. Brothers and sisters, this is solemn for me, to consider that in our lives, and our responsibility is toward our children, first and foremost, that they might come to know the God that we know. And as I said before, if we fail to make God real to our children, how we have failed. And here is a nation, a people, that should have been a testimony to the world that surrounded them, that should have transformed the world, as we've already had, that turned the world upside down. And yet sadly, there were people that did not enjoy that nearness to God, that intimate relation with God. And they did not appreciate the word of God. Instead of changing the world that surrounded them, they were conformed to the world that surrounded them. And testimony for God was lost. And if we put it in today's language, their children were lost. What a solemn warning this is for us, as to God's purposes for them and how they failed, as God would make himself known to them. You remember back in Exodus chapter 3, as God speaks to Moses, he said, I did not reveal myself to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, but as the Almighty God. But here I am speaking to you to send to these people, to go these people and tell them I am Jehovah, the unchanging God, the God that seeks a relationship with his people, a God that hears, a God that sees, a God that moves to bless his people. I have seen your affliction. I have heard your cries. I am come down to take you out of bondage. And I will take you up into a good land. A living God. A powerful God. A faithful God. A God who would provide for the needs of his people. And the sad reality is they could turn their back against this God. You come over to the book of Jeremiah. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have hewn out for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. And though we preach that in the gospel to men and women that live in this dry, barren land, as believers we could fall into the same sin. To forsake the living God. To turn our backs against this God who desires to have a relationship, a nearness, an intimacy with us. That his word might be dear to us. That we might live in the good of God's blessings for us. The question today is, what could turn my heart away from God? That I could turn my back on such an awesome relationship that I could fail to make known the greatness of God to those that surround me. You see, that is God's purposes for us as a nation of Israel failed in turning the nations to their God. They were turned to the gods of the nations. You see, all the time we read of the rules, the regulations that were given to the nation of Israel to be a separated people, it was not just to keep them from all the pleasures of life. It was because they were God's people. Because God is holy, God required them to be holy. If they were going to make God known to the nations as a holy God, they themselves must be holy. And Peter reminds us of the very same truth. What is God's purpose for us? That ye might show forth the praises of Him who called you. Brothers and sisters, are we making known God to the world that surrounds us? Do people see God in us? Do people see Christ in us? Do people desire to know the God that we profess? Is this something that appeals to them? That people might say, I want to have what you have. That you know God, that you speak to God, that you see God's moving and working in your life as they wander about without bearing and purpose in life. Or are we becoming more and more like them, farther and farther away from God? That the Word of God is something that is of little value and appreciation. And instead of glorifying God with our lives, sadly there are Christians who are actually turning people away from the gospel. You know, it wasn't that long ago I heard someone say, I would come to the meetings, but for so-and-so who gathers there. That is a shame. That is not what God has saved us for. Our purpose in life, like that little maid, should be to point people to the God of heaven. That little maid back in Naaman's time, there is a prophet in Israel. You know what Naaman come to discover? I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. See, that was the purpose of God for His people. And they failed. What about you and I today? 2019, are we making known the virtues of God, the goodness of God, the excellency of God, the modesty of God, the purity of God? We read those words that in the day of visitation, as Peter writes, because of our works. Dearly beloved, verse 11, I beseech you as strangers, as pilgrims, those who are just passing through this scene, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your behavior honest among the Gentiles. Here it is, our testimony to the unsaved. As we move through this scene, are people being attracted to the Savior because of my life? Because of my works, my actions, my words? Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, though we do not evil, they will speak against us as evildoers, Peter says. But he says that your good works, by your good works, here it is, by the outworking, that they shall glorify God in the day of visitation. I know in the Old Testament, as Peter would often borrow from the Old Testament, a day of visitation is a day of judgment. But you know, come to the New Testament, a day of visitation is a day of opportunity for salvation. You see, this comes around to the point, because of our lives, our lifestyles, that people might see in us the reality of God, and God might work in them in a day of opportunity, of visitation for salvation. Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God, glorify your Father which is in heaven. There it is, that relationship with God, seen in us, would bring glory to God for who He is. That we, through our works and our lives and our words, would make this God known. Without expounding in all these words of the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, you see, the purpose of God is not only Godward in praising and worshiping Him, but as being a testimony to the nations that surround us, Brothers and sisters, can I say it very frankly? This is a burden of my heart last night. If the people of God do not pray for those who are in their sins, who is going to do it? And if the people of God do not bring sinners to the gospel meeting, who is going to do it? And if you and I don't preach the gospel to those that are perishing, who is going to do it? And the list could go on. This is something for each and every one of us in this age, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Did the nation of Israel appreciate the living God and the power of God? So soon they turned their backs against it, and there rose a generation that did not know God. What about you and I? Do we live in the reality of this? So we make it known that we know the living God, that we have been saved by His marvelous working in our lives. You see, the nation of Israel was a people called for God. As you read in the book of Hosea, where these verses come from, verse 10, Hosea's son, not my people. Because they weren't giving testimony to who God was, they failed. Might God help us as a people who were not a people, and a people who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, to be a living testimony of God here on earth, individually, collectively, as believers. Might God help us to show forth the praises, the virtues, the goodness of the one that has called us from darkness into light.